Albayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ban wala, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Yubayyinu al-imam ibn al-qayyim anna اعتماد المخلوق على مخلوق مثله لا يجلب له النفع وإنما يجلب له الضر. الواجب على المسلم كما تعلم أن يتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى لا على غيره. فيقول الإمام ابن القيم إن اعتماد العبد على المخلوق وتوكله عليه يوجب له الضرر من جهته هو ولا بد، عكس ما أمله منه، فلا بد أن يخذل من الجهة التي قدر أن ينصر منها، ويذم من حيث قدر أن يحمد. وهذا أيضا كما أنه ثابت بالقرآن والسنة فهو معلوم بالاستقراء والتجارب. قال الله تعالى: واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة ليكونوا لهم عزا كلا سيكفرون بعبادتهم ويكونون عليهم ضدا. وقال تعالى: واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون، أي يغضبون لهم ويحاربون كما يغضب الجند ويحارب عن أصحابه، وهم لا يستطيعون نصرهم بل هم كل عليهم. وقال تعالى: وما ظلمناهم ولكن ظلموا أنفسهم فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء لما جاء أمر ربك وما زادوهم غير تتبيب، أي غير تخسير. وقال تعالى: فلا تدعوا مع الله إلها آخر فتكون من المعذبين. وقال تعالى: لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتقعد مذموما مخذولا. فإن المشرك يرجو بشركه النصر تارة والحمد والثناء تارة، فأخبر سبحانه أن مقصوده ينعكس عليه ويحصل له الخذلان والذم. إذن المقصود أن هذين الوجهين في المخلوق ضدهما في الخالق سبحانه، فصلاح القلب وسعادته وفلاحه في عبادة الله تعالى والاستعانة به، وهلاكه وشقاؤه وضرره العاجل والآجل في عبادة المخلوق والاستعانة به. إذن لا يستقيم للعبد أمر إلا أن يكون الله معبوده، وأن يتوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى ويستعين به في تحصيل ذلك. وهذا ما بينته سورة الفاتحة في قوله: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. فسبب سعادة العبد وفلاحه في الدارين في حصول هذين الأمرين: توحيد الله بالعبادة، أيضا التوكل على الله سبحانه وتعالى في تحصيل هذا الأمر.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, he says that when a servant of Allah depends on a creation and his dependence upon him actually results in harm, that comes to that servant himself, and there is no avoiding that whatsoever. And this is in complete opposite to what he was hoping, because he was worshipping these created beings, hoping that he would be protected from harm, but actually he will be harmed for sure. So he will be disappointed and he will be betrayed from the same thing and from the same issues that he assumed that he would be protected from. And he would be blamed from the same thing, or in the same way he expected to be praised. And this also is confirmed in the Quran, the Sunnah. And this is as well known by experience and following the sequence of events that have passed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Maryam, and they have taken besides Allah false deities that would be for them a source of honor. No, that will not be the case. They will disbelieve in their worship, and they will be adversaries of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and they take besides Allah gods to worship so that they can be given victory. They have no ability to give them victory, in even though they were like soldiers ready at their defense. So the people who worship the false idols, they get angry for the idols, and they're ready to fight for the sake of their idols. Just like a soldier fights and defends his master, even though these idols that they worship will not be able to grant them victory, but rather these idols that they seek victory from, they are dependent on them themselves to protect them. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, we did not oppress them, but rather they oppressed themselves. And their gods that they worship did not avail them. The gods that they worship did not avail them against Allah in anything when the command of your Lord came. And they did not increase them except in loss. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not call other than Allah any other god, or else you will be of the punished ones. And Allah ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, don't make with Allah any other god, or else you'll find yourself sitting blameworthy and depraved. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that the one who associates in worship and he hopes by his polytheistic worship success and victory, or that he seeks praise and glorification, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they will actually achieve the opposite, and they will be dejected and blameworthy. And the point is that these two issues that is sought from a creation is completely opposite of what we seek or what we expect from the Creator. So the benefit of the heart and its joy and its success is all contained in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking help from Him. And the destruction and the anguish and the harm in the short term and in the long term is in worship of the creation and seeking help from the creation.
ثم أورد الإمام ابن القيم كلاما حقيقة في غاية الأهمية. قال الإمام ابن القيم: إن الله سبحانه غني كريم عزيز رحيم، فهو محسن إلى عبده ما غناه عنه، يريد به الخير ويكشف عنه الضر، لا لجلب منفعة إليه من العبد ولا لدفع مضرة، بل رحمة منه وإحسانا. فهو سبحانه لم يخلق خلقه ليتكثر بهم من قلة، ولا ليعتز بهم من ذلة، ولا ليرزقوه ولا لينفعوه ولا ليدفعوا عنه، كما قال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. إذن الله عز وجل بيّن في هذه الآية أنه خلقهم لعبادته، لا لأجل رزق يريده منهم، فالله عز وجل هو الرزاق وهو ذو القوة المتين. وقال تعالى: وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. فهو سبحانه لا يوالي من يواليه من الذل كما يوالي المخلوق المخلوق. يعني أحيانا الملك الذي هو أكبر السلطة يوالي الناس لأنه يشعر أنه بحاجة إليهم، لأنه يشعر أن ملكه مهدد بالزوال إذا لم يتقرب إلى الناس. لذلك تجد أن الملوك يحاولون إرضاء الناس لأنهم في الحقيقة يخشون على ملكهم، فإذا هم يوالون من يوالون لأن ليس لهم عزة كاملة، ليس لهم قوة كاملة، فهم يحتاجون إلى غيرهم في تثبيت ملكهم. أما الله عز وجل فهو منزه عن ذلك ونزه نفسه، قال: ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. فإذا الله عز وجل يوالي أولياءه إحسانا ورحمة ومحبة لهم، ليس لأنه بحاجة إليهم، هو يواليهم رحمة بهم ومحبة لهم. وأما العباد فإنهم كما قال الله تعالى: والله الغني وأنتم الفقراء، فهم لفقرهم وحاجتهم، إنما يحسن بعضهم إلى بعض لحاجته إلى ذلك وانتفاعه به عاجلا وآجلا. سبحان الله، الخلق فقراء وهم فقراء يحتاجون إلى بعضهم البعض، فالمحسن منهم لما يحسن إلى غيره هو يحسن لأنه بحاجة إلى ذلك، ولأنه ينتفع به إما عاجلا أو آجلا، ولولا تصور ذلك النفع لما أحسن إليه. فهو في الحقيقة إنما أراد الإحسان إلى نفسه، وجعل إحسانه إلى غيره وسيلة وطريقة إلى وصول نفع ذلك الإحسان إليه، فإنه إما أن يحسن إليه لتوقع جزائه في العاجل وهو محتاج إلى ذلك الجزاء، أو معاوضة أو يعني معاوضة بإحسانه، أو لتوقع حمده وشكره. وهو أيضا إنما يحسن إليه ليحصل منه ما هو محتاج إليه من الثناء والمدح، فهو محسن إلى نفسه بإحسانه إلى الغير. يعني كثير من الناس قد يحسن ويعني ينفق الأموال لأنه يحب المدح والثناء، فهو حقيقة محتاج إلى هذا الإحسان وهذا الإنفاق ليصل إلى ما يعني يحب. وإما أن يريد الجزاء من الله تعالى في الآخرة، فهو أيضا محسن إلى نفسه بذلك، وإنما أخر جزاءه إلى يوم فقره وفاقته، فهو غير ملوم في هذا القصد، فإنه فقير محتاج، وفقره وحاجته أمر لازم له من لوازم ذاته. حتى من يحسن إلى الخلق لوجه الله عز وجل فهو يحسن إلى نفسه، وهذا الأمر أيضا يدل على فقره وأنه بحاجة إلى هذا يوم أن يرجع إلى ربه لأنه فقير. إذن الفقر من لوازم الإنسان، من لوازم ذاته، فكماله أن يحرص على ما ينفعه ولا يعجز عنه. وقال تعالى: إن أحسنتم أحسنتم لأنفسكم. وقال تعالى: وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون. وقال تعالى فيما رواه عنه رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا عبادي إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني، ولن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني، يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم ثم أوفيكم إياها، فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله، ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. إذن في كل ما يصنعه الإنسان من إحسان في الحقيقة، سواء أراد بذلك الدنيا أم أراد بذلك الآخرة، فهو في الحقيقة يحسن إلى نفسه، لكن الذي يمدح في النهاية هو الذي يحسن ابتغاء مرضات الله عز وجل، فهو يخبئ ذلك إلى يوم فقره ومعاده، يوم أن يرجع إلى ربه سبحانه وتعالى. وقال الإمام يعني ابن القيم: والإنسان ليس ملوما إن أحسن بقصد أن يخبئ ذلك إلى يوم معاده، فلأن الفقر من لوازم الإنسان، من لوازم الإنسان، فكماله يعني كمال الإنسان أن يحرص على ما ينفعه ويعني ولا يعجز عنه.
Another point that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions, that it's important to remember and to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient and He is generous and He is mighty and He is merciful. He is generous to His servants in spite of His not needing them. And He wishes goodness for them and He removes harm from them, not to bring any benefit for Himself from His servant, nor to repel any harm from Himself, but rather Allah Ta'ala is generous and kind to His servants out of mercy and generosity to them. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala did not create the creation just to have more servants because He didn't have enough servants. Nor did He create the creation so that He can be glorified not glorified. Nor did He create the creation so that they could bring provision for Him, or that they could benefit Him, or that they could defend Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I did not create jinn or mankind except to worship Me. I do not want from them any provision, nor do I want them to feed Me. Indeed, it is Allah who is the continual provider, the firm possessor of strength.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, say, praises belong to Allah, the one who has not taken for Himself a son, and and He does not have an associate in the dominion, and He does not have an associate from the lowly, yani the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, to Him belongs all praise. He is not in need of a son, nor is in need of an associate from the dominion, nor is He in need of an ally from the lowly, meaning the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorious and almighty, does not ally those who ally themselves to Him out of lowliness, out of need. As the creation, they have alliance to those who have alliance to them from the creation. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allegiance or alliance to His allies out of generosity and mercy and love for them. As for the servants, they are, as Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah is free of need and you are the needy. And so because of their need and because of their poverty, they are kind to each other and generous to each other because they need that from each other. So for example, yani a king, he has allies, yani, and he shows generosity to others because he needs their support. Without people protecting him and helping him, he will lose his kingdom. And so he shows kindness to them and he provides benefit for them, and he allies himself with those who ally themselves to him and support him for his benefit. He benefits them for his benefit. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He benefits His creation in spite that He is not in need of any benefit. And all the creation altogether cannot benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. So the creation, because of their poverty and their need, they show graciousness to each other because they need that. Because they will benefit from that kindness sooner or later. And if a person does not imagine any benefit that he will get from a person, he will not show any generosity to that person. Rather, he only shows generosity to a person, a goodness to a person, for goodness that he seeks for himself. And he uses the generosity to others as a means to get benefit for himself. Either he shows goodness to others because he knows that he will get an immediate or short-term recompense, and so he is in need of that short-term recompense, or that he will get a return to that good treatment back to him, or that he expects people to praise him and thank him. And this is something that he desires as well. He desires, you know, for him to be recognized and him to be praised and thanked. So sometimes people show charity and goodness and kindness to others because he will gain what he needs of praise and thanks. So again, He is only showing good to people for a benefit for himself, not for others. Or that he does goodness to others because he wants the recompense from Allah in the hereafter. And also, this is a benefit for himself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delay his recompense on the day where he actually needs it, the day of judgment. And he is not blameworthy for having that goal, because he is by his nature poor and in need, and his poverty and his need is something that is tied to his essential being. And it only makes sense that a being who is in needy and in poverty, then he works, and that actually shows the completeness of that being, that he works to that which benefits him, if he is able to get a benefit, as long as he is able to get that benefit. That's actually a good thing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you do good, you do good only for yourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whatever you spend in charity, in goodness, it will be returned back to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, as narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O my servants, you would not be able to reach to a level to harm me, nor would you be able to reach a level to benefit me. O my servants, it is nothing but your deeds. I collect it for you and then I present it back to you. And whoever finds in his actions good, then let him thank Allah. And whoever finds in his actions other than that, then let him not blame anyone but himself. And so just briefly, as Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that because the creation is in need, he looks for a benefit. And even when a person does a good deed for the sake of Allah and shows kindness and generosity to others for the sake of Allah, because he seeks a benefit for him in the hereafter, and that's not something bad. That's something that is necessary because we are in need. Because this is something essential part of our being, and it's not something blameworthy.
فالمخلوق لا يقصد منفعتك بالقصد الأول. معنى ذلك أنه لن تجد مخلوقا يريد نفعك دون أن يحصل هو فائدة. الذي يقصد منفعتك بالقصد الأول هو الله عز وجل. هو عندما يحسن إليك هو لا يحصل أي منفعة من جراء ذلك. أما المخلوق إذا أراد نفعك فلا بد هو أن ينتفع, يكون قصده هو أن ينتفع بذلك. فإنما يقصد انتفاعه بك, والرب إنما يريد نفعك لا انتفاعه به, به. ذلك وذلك منفعة محضة لك خالصة من المضرة, بخلاف إرادة المخلوق نفعك فإنه قد يكون فيه مضرة عليك ولو بتحمل منته. أحيانا قد يحسن إليك المخلوق مع هذا الإحسان والنفع الذي وصلك منه, قد يحصل لك من خلاله ضرر, قد يمتن عليك بذلك. فتدبر هذا, فإن ملاحظته تمنعك أن ترجو المخلوق أو تعامله دون الله عز وجل, أو تطلب منه نفعا أو دفعا أو تعلق قلبك به. فإنه إنما يريد انتفاع, يريد انتفاعه بك لا محض نفعك, وهذا حال الخلق كلهم بعضهم مع بعض. هو حال الولد مع والده, والزوج مع زوجه, والمملوك مع سيده, والشريك مع شريكه. كل سبحان الله, هناك مثل عند العامة يقول الدنيا مصلحة, أنفعك وتنفعني. لعل هذا القانون هو يجري مع الجميع, بين الزوج وزوجته, بين الولد وأبيه والأب وابنه, بين الصاحب وصاحبه, هكذا معروف عند عامة الناس الدنيا مصلحة. إذن السعيد من عامل الخلق لله تعالى لا لهم, وأحسن إليهم لله تعالى, وخاف الله تعالى فيهم, ولم يخفهم مع الله تعالى، ورج الله تعالى بالإحسان إليهم ولم يرجهم مع الله، وأحبهم لحب الله ولم يحبهم مع الله تعالى، كما قال الله عز وجل: إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. هذه قاعدة من أجمل القواعد، إذا فهمناها وعقلناها من أجمل ما نتعلم أن كيف نتعامل مع الخلق. هذه إذا فهمناها هي من أجمل الأمور، يعني نفعا في هذه الدنيا. الكلام الأخير أنه السعيد من عاملهم لله تعالى لا لهم، يعني تعامل الناس لله عز وجل، لله عز وجل، لا لذواتهم، لا لذواتهم، يعني حتى في مع أقرب الناس إليك تبر والدك لله عز وجل، لأن الله يحب ذلك وأمرك بذلك، وتبر الوالد كذلك، وتحسن إلى ولدك لأن الله عز وجل أمرك بالإحسان إليه وتربيته تربية صالحة. إذن لا تحسن إليهم لذاتهم، وإنما تحسن إليهم، تعاملهم لله عز وجل لا لهم. وهكذا مع كل الخلق، يعني تخاف الله فيهم ولا تخافهم مع الله عز وجل. وهذه قاعدة جميلة جدا، لعل يعني نأخذها من قوله تعالى: إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا، يعني كل معاملاتك هي بقصد وجه الله عز وجل، بقصد الثواب ورضا الله، لا بقصد الخلق. إن فهمت هذا فتح لك باب عظيم من أبواب الخير. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
It's important to understand that the creation, and we are all creation, we do not intend to benefit others in the first place. But rather the creation seeks to benefit others for his benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wishes to benefit his creation without there being any benefit for himself. Allah does not benefit his creation for himself. And the benefit is purely for his creation. And it is benefit without any harm. And this is contrary to the benefit wished by the creation to each other. So when the creation wishes to benefit you with something, it could have a harm to you. And you sometimes put up with that harm because you need the benefit. For example, someone is gracious to you and gives you a gift, gives you money, for example, because you're in need of that money, and you benefit from that giving. In spite that that person who gave you money might remind you of that favor, and you get harmed. This annoys you for him to remind you of the favor that he did, but you're willing to cope with that harm because you were in need of what he gave you. So consider that. So when you consider that, then you will understand that you should not have hope in any creation, or that you treat a creation or that you deal with a creation instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that you seek a benefit, or you seek to be, or you seek protection, or that your heart is attached to the creation because that creation wishes to benefit himself through you, not that he intends pure benefit for you. And this is the normal situation of creation. You know, this is how they deal with each other. And you know, as the Arabs, they say, "Ad-dunya maslaha," the world is all about benefit. It's all about exchange of benefit.
You scratch my back and I scratch yours. And this is the situation, for example, even in the relationship of a child with his father or a child with his parent or the child of a husband with his wife and opposite, or with a slave with his master, or with a citizen with his king, or with a partner with his partner. And a partner in a business, for example, all are exchanging benefits. So the one who is truly happy in this is the one who deals with people for the sake of Allah, not for their sake. He is shows generosity to them for the sake of Allah. And he fears Allah for their sake in the way that he deals with them. He does not fear them themselves. And he has hope in Allah by showing generosity to them. And he loves them for the sake, he loves them so that Allah can love him. And he does not love them with the love of Allah or alongside, or does not love them alongside his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the righteous, how Allah described them in the Quran, when they said, and they were giving, when they give charity to those who are needy, they said, indeed we feed you for the sake of Allah, we do not wish from you any reward or any thanks. And this is a very important principle when doing good by others. Do good to others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah's reward, not for their the benefit that you're going to get from them, but rather for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important principle to live your whole life by. To do good to others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping in Allah, not necessarily for them. Even the way that you do, a spouse deals with his spouse or a child deals with his parents, he deals with them because Allah loves this from him. And so his transaction is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of his righteous servants. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.